I'm tired, I'm worn, my heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes, I've let my hope fail, my soul feels crushed by the weight of this world.
this into a prayer tonight over our nation, over our cities. Come awaken your people. Come awaken your city. Oh God, every Bible, pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble. Hear the chains hit the ground. Oh God, every Bible, pour it out.
Start to raise a voice. dreams are passing on. There's no broken body you can't raise from, so that you can save all. Things are possible, things are possible.
Welcome, Hope Show listeners. I hope each and every one of you have had a wonderful week. It's officially springtime, my very favorite season of the year. It's a time of rebirth for all the nature around us. Things to begin to bloom and green back up after several months of cold weather. It's the beginning of warmer weather ahead, and it's coming into gardening time, and the days seem longer because we have more daylight hours. I know we don't all share the same climate, but from where I'm located, this is what I always look forward to this time of the year. So, anyway, today's message is about something that is very near and dear to my heart, something I'm very passionate about, as it should be for all of us. Today's topic is raising up the next generation. I have children and grandchildren. And the world, the shape that it's currently in, you know, all the temptations, most of the music and the media, the violent games that children are playing on their game systems, the gender issues, etc., are not of God. I see this generation growing up right now, and the one before it, and it honestly scares me how this world is evolving. Think back to a time when your grandparents were alive, and notice how very different the world is today. In the time span of 3 or 4 generations, the world has declined drastically. When you look at the children around you, are you satisfied and content with how they are being raised? Let's take a moment to bow our heads in an opening prayer before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity for all of us to gather here today and worship you. Thank you for your word. Father, as we are all gathered here today, we know that everything is about you. Our history, our future. Please help us to worship you with an undistracted heart today. You know how our minds wander to the upcoming weeks, present worries, and thoughts of all other things. Help us to put all of that aside today and focus only on you as we worship you and give you all the praise and glory. Dear Heavenly Father, please anoint this vessel, and may the words as I speak come straight from you and not of my own understanding. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. All right, friends, thank you all for joining me in that moment of prayer. As I said a few minutes ago, I am very passionate about today's topic. The children on this planet have been weighing heavy on my heart for quite some time. I pray for them always. I pray for their future and ours. I pray for my own family and my children and my grandchildren all the time. Our key verse for today is going to be from Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Children are very important to God. From the beginning to the end of God's Word, God speaks about the importance and the worth of children. They are our future. They are our hope. God created families. Children are a gift from God and a blessing from God. And because of this, God cares deeply about how our children are raised and how they are nurtured. And in Proverbs 17:6, the Bible tells us, children's children are a crown to the aged, and parents are the pride of their children. This talks about generations, parents, grandparents. They are a crown to the aged. And in Luke 9, 46 and 47, the Bible tells us, "Whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For it is the one who is least among you all who is the greatest." Friends, the Bible clearly states that children are to be looked upon as a blessing and not a convenience, an inconvenience. Folks, how many times have you been somewhere and have noticed that parents treat their children like an inconvenience? It's so, so sad. It just breaks my heart. It breaks my heart for all of these small children, God's children. God created them. They are a reward from God. They are a blessing from God. They are little tiny people. They have so much worth and so much value. And they are hope for our future. And yet, a lot of children in today's society are treated as an inconvenience. Their parents are too busy, maybe too selfish. I'm sorry if that offends some of you, but I'm being real here today, folks. I'm being real about our children and the future generations that are being raised up right now. I know it's all in God's hands, and I don't, you know, it says in the Bible over and over again, do not be afraid, do not be afraid, do not be afraid. You know, cast all your anxieties and burdens upon me. And so, I don't know that scared is really the right word to describe how I feel, but I'm very concerned. It weighs on my heart a lot. And as I said, I pray about it a lot. It's a very real and big concern for today's society. Friends, I look around and I see so much dysfunction in families. And I know how much it must grieve God to see His creation and what's happening to it. I see how families are raising their children, how children are being neglected and abused, the media being used as a babysitter, the trashy music and the trashy video games that children are being allowed to watch and listen to by their parents, to be entertained with. I hear how parents talk to each other and talk to their children. A complete lack of respect and concern. I see children being torn down and belittled by their parents, their fragile little spirits being broken from such a young and early age. And it tears my heart up to witness these things. Those precious babies. There's a big world out there that they're growing up into. And if you're raised up in a dysfunctional family, you're not going to be properly ready for what lies ahead. You know, these small babies, these small children, they didn't ask to come into this world. They are children, they are blessings and rewards from God. They are our responsibility. It's our responsibility to raise them up right, to treasure them, and treasure the time that we have with them, and treasure the generations to come. And their spirits are so fragile. Even from inside the mother's womb, they hear their surroundings. They hear you talking. They hear you fighting. They hear the music that you listen to. They know when their mom is upset. When their mom is stressed, they are stressed. So even as young as in the womb, before they're born, they're retaining things. They're learning about their environment. And then once they're born, their little tiny minds are so fragile. Their spirits are so fragile. And it just breaks my heart to see how, what kind of environment that some of these children are raised in and what is being fed into their little minds. And when you understand that and when you look at it from that point of view, you can look around and you can see the destruction in those children's lives. You can almost tell by looking at a child. You can almost tell what their home life is like. You can listen to that child. And you can get a vision of the things that are permitted into their world, the things that they watch, the things that they listen to. You know, you can almost, you know, if children are cursing, they're picking it up from somewhere. You know, and it's just so, so sad to see the decline of our children. It makes me very emotional talking about this because I believe in our children so strongly. I see the children being torn down and belittled by their parents. Like I said, their fragile little spirits being so broken. And I know there's a better way. God is the better way. I see parents that are constantly leaving their children in the care of someone else to go pursue their own guilty pleasures. I see children growing up with little discipline in their lives, or growing up mostly on their own, either because parents treat them like they're a nuisance, or because parents are working long hours on their job. I see children raising children. I see children raising themselves, their siblings. The days when families sit and eat a meal around the dinner table together are all but gone, for the most part. Parents are busy. Children are busy. Everyone is too busy to be a family. A family in the way that God created families to be. Which brings me to another question. What is a family? Each of us probably have our own idea on what a family is, what makes a family. what it feels like, what it looks like. But a family is a group of people who have each other's back and are willing to go to the ends of the earth to see to it that their family unit is safe and secure, happy and healthy, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. A true family is a sense of loyalty, selflessness, love, and genuine care and concern for each other, respect for one another. Friends, families that live in dysfunction do not have many of these qualities. It's a constant struggle. In most instances, God is not a part of those families' lives. At each stage in a child's life, there will be hurdles to overcome. Perhaps one of the biggest hurdles that you might face with your child is when they become teenagers. Oftentimes, teenagers stop feeling a sense of familiarity with their parents once they start growing up. As parents, it is our responsibility to make sure that our children don't feel this way. Teenagers often start to search for a family among their peers. That is normal. But it's important that teenagers find friends that provide healthy relationships, ones that do not get them involved with a bad crowd of friends, that build unhealthy relationships and draw our teenagers into things that they should not be doing. Parents try to adhere to teenage trends, thinking that by doing so, their children would be more receptive to their attention. Parents try to dress and talk and behave in such a way that is better suited to their children, in an attempt to befriend their children. But folks, when this happens, the parent loses out on the primary goal, which is preparing their children to live godly lives for the tough future that they will face ahead. You cannot always be your child's best friend. By trying to do so, you are only harming your children, not helping them. Not to say that you can't be your child's best friend, but you have to have boundaries. You have to know when to be their friend and when to be their parent, when to discipline as well as reform. Friends, a family unit is first and foremost designed by God to pass on godly values so that our children can take our place in society as contributing, fruitful adults for the kingdom of God. How many times do you go to a grocery store or the park or a hardware store or Walmart? How many times do you go to these places and you see that the children are in control, not the parent? How many times do you witness the children telling the parents what they are going to do and what they are not going to do? The total disrespect for their parents is overwhelming. How many times have you heard a parent and a child fighting in these stores, and it's kind of a battle of the wits, and oftentimes, you know, how many times do you hear a parent say, "Wait till your mom or dad comes home," if you behave this way, I will reward you with this or that. Or empty threats. How many times do you hear all these things? Is it any wonder that our society is in the shape that it is in? Look around. Wake up, you sleepers. Wake up to what is going on in our society, what is going on in our world. Wake up. Children do and mimic what they are taught, good or bad. And these children that are behaving like this now, that treat their parents like this, will grow up to treat their bosses like this, to treat their boyfriend or girlfriend or spouse like this, their teachers in school. You know, I may be stepping on a lot of people's toes out there saying this, and I don't mean to. But it is said to spare the rods to spoil the child. And I'm not saying when your child acts up, abuse them. But I am saying that every once in a while, to get your point across, they may need a good spanking on their bottom. Not a beating. One swat on the bottom. It never hurt me. And it's something that was practiced generations and generations ago. And I'm not saying that it should be done all the time as a primary source of discipline, because that too can break the spirit of your child. But I'm saying that when they are just really out of control, you know, just really, really over and beyond out of control, once in a while, a good swat on the bottom is not going to hurt them. And I'm sorry if that offends anyone out there, but that is my belief. And it used to be, when I was growing up, that the teachers in school had the right to spank a child if they got out of line. But today's society has become such a wishy-washy society, has made it so that teachers have very little control in their classroom. If the children are not getting disciplined at home, and they can't be disciplined at school, then where does that leave our children? What becomes of our children today and in future generations? Parents are scared to discipline their children anymore because of the things that have evolved into our society. That's not right. That is not the way God intended for families to be. God intended for parents to pass on godly values so that our children can take our place in society. And one day their children will undertake the same role. They will train their children in a set of godly values, and so on and so forth down through the generations. Unfortunately, we have a lot of negativity in this world. Lots of negative examples of generations that have failed to do these things. We have families that don't pass down stories and values that were meant to guide the next generation. Perhaps their parents didn't teach them. Perhaps many generations that have gone by have dropped the ball. You can't teach what you don't know. In contrast to the tragic generational disconnect that we see today, the Bible clearly paints a picture of each generation of the people of God instructing the next generation about the works of God in our lives. In Psalms 145:4, the Bible tells us, "One generation shall commend your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts." We have a responsibility, friends, to the next generation. Our children are watching us all day long. All day long. Watching how we respond to certain things, listening to how we talk to our spouses and other people, watching how we treat each other, how we treat other people. Our children listen to and watch what we allow them to. These values will become their future. And the next future, the next generation after that. How we live our lives will affect our children in the future. Friends, look around. We can see how the next generation is affected by the previous one. Look at what all we've got going on right now in this world. Look at all the chaos. Look at this declining society. Look at our children and look at their parents. It just sickens me. I found an article online this week. It tells the story of an old lady who was carrying on some small talk with a gentleman of the neighborhood that she lived in. One thing led to another, and they began to talk of her children and her grandchildren. She had 6 children and 36 grandchildren. Her family was impressive in number. The gentleman asked her, "How did you manage to produce such a large, well-fed, well-dressed, well-educated, extended family?" And the old lady replied, "I didn't. I just took care of my 6 with God's help. And each of them took care of their 6. This, friend, shows a prime example of what God intended for a family unit to be like. Friends, it truly breaks my heart when I look around at all the dysfunction in our families today and how far away from God our families have become. It physically makes me sick to see how children are being raised up these days. I want to scream and shout at these parents to wake up and show them where the consequences of their bad choices will lead their children and their future generations. I was not raised like the children are raised today, and I'm sure many of you aren't either. You know, for some of us, our grandparents and great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents would probably turn over in their grave if they saw what this world was like today and how our children behaved toward their parents. It's a totally different world out there today. I was not a perfect parent either. I'm not a perfect person. No one is. It grieves me. There was a lot of room for improvement in my life. I thought I was doing my best at the time. But as I have grown much older and hopefully wiser, God has revealed to me the truth, has convicted me of the errors of my ways as a parent, and it grieves me that I didn't have the kind of background about God back then to pass on to my daughter. I was going through some really tough times back in those days, but that is no excuse. No excuse whatsoever. I think perhaps this is why I'm so passionate about the future of our children now and how people parent their children. I have lived long enough to see my children and now my grandchildren being born and growing up, and I want better for them. You should want better for your children and your grandchildren. If our children are to survive, and our children's children are to survive, down through the generations, they must have God in their lives. They need salvation, and they need the Word, and they need God's example being lived in front of them. God is the solid rock in which we stand, and everything else is sinking sand. Sinking sand, my friends. Are your children living on the sinking sand? Are you living on the sinking sand? This world we live in is Satan's playground. We don't belong here. We are merely passing through on our way to eternity in heaven, with the goal to live our lives for Jesus and to teach our children to do the same, with the idea that they will pass along this information and beliefs to their children and their children's children. Friends, I posted something on Facebook a few weeks back. I was quite angry with the devil about what is going on with our children. I won't share the whole message, but to summarize it briefly, here is what God laid upon my heart that day. We are living in a world We are living in a world ran by Satan. Open your eyes, parents. We turn on the TV, the radio, our cell phones, our computers. We walk around our community, our neighborhoods. We drive down the road, just to name a few. And there is so much disgusting, vile, satanic, just plain, nasty garbage everywhere you turn your head. It is constantly in our face and in the faces of our children. We have a choice what enters our mind, what we listen to, look at, participate in. We have the same choice with what we allow into our children's minds. But so many people are making bad choices. There was a time when I was just as ignorant of my own choices and how they would affect my children. I didn't think about the possible consequences way back then. And some may laugh and ridicule me now, today, about my post. May think that I am foolish and I don't know what I'm talking about. Thinking that nothing will become of the choices that they make today and in the future. And that it will have no bearing on the lives of their children. It's all fun and games right now, right? Wrong. Think of the possibilities of what the future holds for your children, based upon the choices that you make today. the relationships you have with others, intimate or otherwise, the music you listen to, the television shows you watch. Listen carefully to the lyrics and the content of those television shows. The way you talk to people and treat them, the way you teach others how to treat you. Everything you do or say, everything you do or say, the things that entertain you, not only affect you, but also affect your children and generations to come. God wants the best life for you, your children and your grandchildren and future generations, and we have free will. God will not make us do anything. It's up to us to get in a saving knowledge of Jesus, accept Him as our Lord and Savior, read and know His Word from beginning to end. Pray. Stay on the righteous path to live our lives by His example. Make right choices. Teach our children right from wrong. Teach our children all the knowledge that we can about Jesus and how He lived His life, and that He should live, and that they should live according to His example as well. Why He came to this earth. What His purpose was for coming to this earth. Friends, our families need a great spiritual healing. And right now, post haste. Friends, there's no time for delay. Our children are watching and mimicking what they see us do and say. What we permit into our world is also being permitted in their world. The future starts with us. Looks like I may be running slightly over on today's message. But this is a message that every single one of us should hear and adhere to. I'm going to go ahead and play these two songs and continue with the rest of this message. And I sincerely hope that every one of you will stay tuned in to today's message. We are probably going to run maybe a good 15 minutes over. But friends, if at all possible, please stay tuned in and listen to the last part of today's message. It is so, so, so important. God has laid this message upon my heart heavily. And anyone out there that's involved in a child's life, parent or not, needs to hear this message. And so I will return after these two songs.
See? Oh, like the seasons change, winter into spring. You're bringing new life to your family tree now.
Welcome back, Hope Show listeners. I'm so happy that we are all here joined together to worship the Lord, giving all the praise and glory to Him. And if you are still with us here listening to today's message, I know that it's nearly 1 o'clock, and the message usually lasts for 1 hour, but this is a subject that I am so passionate about, and that the God has laid this message upon my heart, and it's so important to me, and it's so important to God. And so, if you're still tuned in to listen to the last 15, 20 minutes, thank you. We serve a truly awesome God. And if you're still, you know, with us and everything, today's message is raising up the next generation. The Bible has much to say about our children, our grandchildren, and generations to come. We live in a perpetual generation, meaning that there is no end to our ancestors until God says so. And our key verse of the day is in Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Why? The answers to that are found in Psalm 78, in verses 6 and 7, so that they may know God through his word, so that they might trust him, putting all their confidence in God, so that they would obey him, keeping his commandments. And stated in another way, so that they would not become a stubborn and rebellious generation, who are not faithful to God. Does the stubborn and rebellious generation sound a lot like what is going on in this world today? God clearly states that this is not what he wants for our children and for the generations to come. We are to teach the next generation to know, trust, and obey God. This desired outcome goes way beyond just hoping that our kids will stay out of trouble. For believers, it means that we seek to raise up faithful and passionate followers of Jesus Christ. And so how do we as parents do this? Firstly, we must be believers. We must be born again, saved, and live our lives for Jesus Christ. We have a responsibility to these precious children whom God has blessed and gifted us with to bring them up in the ways of God. We can do this by telling the stories of things that God has done, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, his might and wondrous works that he has performed, by teaching what God requires of us, testimonies, the law, the commandments, his word, and to warn against sinfulness. All of these require that we be intentional about our responsibilities to make disciples of this next generation. Can you think of any specific ways that we can be involved in equipping the next generation to be bold followers of Christ? Well, a few examples might be, we could pastor a youth group at church. We could become involved in various other youth groups. We could volunteer for missionaries, or we could volunteer at, church camp for kids. And by our acts and deeds that they will see that example in God. We could read children's books or watch movies with them that are children or that are our child faith-based. We can lead by example. Mentor a child that is either a grandchild, great-grandchild, or perhaps not even a child that is even our own. Those are a few specific ways to be involved in raising up the next generation the correct way. Perhaps you're even an aunt or an uncle, a cousin. Friends, every right choice you make, you're making it easier on those that come after you. When you live a life of excellence and integrity, being your best, helping others, those are seeds that will not only make your life fuller and more rewarding, but your children and grandchildren will be better off because of the way you live. No person lives or dies unto himself. The choices you make affect future generations. The choices that will affect, you know, our choices will affect the family line for generations. I personally want my relatives to do great things with their lives and because of me and not in spite of me. The children of our future have enough things to overcome without having to deal with our negative baggage. Your life can either be a stepping stone or a stumbling block that causes them to always struggle. Perhaps you have negative things that were passed down to you, but God raised you up to put an end to it. We can be, each of us, can be a difference maker. Did you listen to the last song that I played, The Family Tree? It states that past generations are not your destiny. They're not your legacy. They do not define you. The scripture talks about how you can store up mercy for your children in future generations. Can you think of anything that you are doing or that you could do that will cause your children to one day say, "Thank you, Mom or Dad"? Are you sowing seeds of kindness, being a blessing to others, putting an end to negative things that have been passed down? Friends, I want you to really be thinking about that. Think of more ways that you can sow more good fruit and store up more for future generations. There are some seeds that you sow now, people you are helping, where you may never reap the fullness of the harvest in your lifetime. Are there seeds that you are sowing right now and have been sowing for years that you have not yet seen a harvest? Sometimes there are seeds that you will sow that are not meant for you to see the harvest. They are meant for our children or grandchildren to reap the full harvest. They are generational blessings. Friends, not a one of us got to where we are by ourselves. Somebody prayed. Somebody made sacrifices. Somebody sowed a seed of kindness and you received that big break. Maybe you thought you were lucky. But friends, I'm here to tell you that luck does not exist. It's by the grace of God that we have all that we have today. Maybe you thought it was a coincidence. There are no coincidences. God has our lives planned out even before we were born. These things also happen because you had a praying mother, grandmother, father, grandfather, or someone else who loved you very much. Perhaps you had a family member that was always helping other people. Perhaps you had a great-grandfather or great-great-grandfather or grandmother whom you never met that sacrificed and sacrificed and sacrificed over and over for their family, persevered through some pretty tough times, and now you are reaping from some of those seeds. The scripture talks about having a godly heritage. Having a godly heritage is better than having great wealth. You can leave your children cars, money, houses, etc. And all of that is great. But when you leave them a godly heritage, when you model a life of excellence and integrity, that's worth more than any material thing that you could ever leave them. God's blessing over their life will make them go further in life than anything you could possibly leave them, materialistically speaking. You may have less resources in this world, but you shall have increase. The right people will be attracted to you. You might think, where did I get where I am? I didn't have the resources, the talent, or the connections. What happened? A generational blessing, perhaps. Friends, I not only want my family to have a godly heritage, but I want to leave them an everlasting legacy that they will never forget, and that will also be passed down through the generations so that future generations will know me too, through the stories that will be shared from one to another. I want my life to count for God, for my children, my grandchildren, and my future generations. I want my life to count, to matter. We are all fighting a battle, but keep your mind focused on God's plan for you and for the generations that will follow you. Let's bow our head in a closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are asking you in this day and expecting, and in the days to come, for you to release us and our families of the past baggage. We ask and declare that at the appointed time, you will cause to fall upon us and our bloodline generational blessings of our past ancestors that came to be because of their obedience and honor of your commandments and sacrifices for you, Father, all done in your name. We pray here today for our lives to be changed, families to have spiritual healing, our children to grow up to know you in their life and to live their lives for you and only you, and in turn they will raise children to do the same, and that this would be passed down generationally as long as we shall all live. We thank you in advance for these answered prayers. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you for tuning in to the Hope Show today. Be thinking about today's message in your children and all of the children of this world, in our own families, in our neighborhood, overseas, across country. Be thinking about these children. Be praying for these children. Be a good example. Sow good seeds today. God bless each and every one of you. May God watch over and protect you as well as your family. Until we meet again next Saturday, same time, same place. Go out and be a blessing to a child, to a family in need.
He never thought he cared so much about the minute hand, until he started praying for a second chance. If he could only do it all again, he'd trade the long nights that he spent behind his desk for all he missed. He tells his wife, I wish that this moment in this room was not me dying, but just spending a little time with you. You care so much about those little hands that held on tight the day she left, till she was scared to death. Sitting all alone on a hotel bed, the end of the road, the sun has set on her big plans. To feel young again, she picks up the phone, dials the number, hears that little voice that's haunted every single mile since she made that choice. You only get just one time around, you only get one shot at this, one chance to find out the one thing that you don't wanna miss. One day when it's all said and done, I hope you see. Just one time around, only get one shot at this, one chance to find out the one.
eternity. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. 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 Hosanna. Such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us run, let us run with perseverance, the race marked out. Let us make a way for those who are to come, those who are to come.
Hosanna.